Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Hey, we podcast this show. If you missed the show and you want to go back and listen to it, just go to AFR.net, click on podcast, and you'll see the Today's Issues banner. Any of our shows are available there that you miss. AFR.net, click on podcast, the tab there, and then you'll see the show and just you can listen. Tim Wildman here with Wesley Wildman and Fred Jackson. Now Steve Paisley Jordahl joins us. Good morning, Steve.
Morning, everybody.
How are you?
I'm well. You're talking about podcasts. folks, once you're done listening to all the AFR podcasts, I am listening to the most fascinating podcast right now.
What's that?
It's called The Warrior Next Door, and it's two guys that back at about the mid-2000s started interviewing World War II veterans. And they finally put these interviews, they did it for the National Archives at a project, but they finally put these interviews on a podcast. And they interviewed, for example, a co-pilot of a B-17 that got shot down and spent some time in the German prison camp. They interviewed the first guy to put his foot on Omaha Beach on D-Day, actually survived the war. Now they're interviewing, I'm listening to an interview they did with a German woman who, as a young girl, was in the Hitler Youth. It's just fascinating.
What's it called?
The Warrior Next Door.
Podcast?
Podcast. And they don't talk. It's not about the individual battles or the strategy or anything. It's just soldiers. Soldiers' yeah. tales. It's really, really fascinating.
All right. Well, what's your first story for us, Steve?
Well, they are taking the Supreme Court yesterday or the day before. It denied taking a case. The name of the case is the Missouri Department of Corrections versus Gene Finney. And they said that, no, we're not going to take this up in the Supreme Court, but Justice Alito had to have a say. He agreed with the decision not to take it up for technical reasons. But this case involves a jury pool that the trial was against a man or a woman named Gene Finney, who worked for the Department of Corrections, and they don't go into exactly what she's complaining about except that She is a woman who presents as a man, presents masculine. She's a lesbian, and she presents as a man. And she was inappropriately stereotyped and discriminated against based on sex, according to her. Well, so when they go to pick a jury for this trial, the lawyer doing the voir dire, the lawyer examining the juror, said, "I have a kind of a curious question. Do any of you go to an evangelical Christian church that preaches that the Bible, that the homosexuality is a sin?" A couple people raised their hands. They kicked him off the jury, saying that you cannot be a Christian and hold to the view that homosexuality is a sin and judge a gay person impartially. So they sent this to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court is not going to take the case. The case is
You're
not...
You're talking about the U.S. Supreme Court?
The U.S. Supreme Court. This case that they denied is about whether or not you can kick Christians off a jury. It's not about the discrimination of the woman or not, discrimination of the lesbian. But it's interesting because Judge Alito wrote this this rebuttal, and I want you to... He's quoting the decision of the lower court, which holds that, yes, you can kick Christians off of a panel if they believe that homosexuality is a sin. He writes, "The court concluded that jurors had been dismissed not because of their religious status, in other words, a Christian, but because of their religious beliefs. And the distinction, it said, it made all the difference because in its view, the court's view, while dismissals based on a juror's Christian status as a Christian must comport with strict scrutiny, in other words, is unconstitutional. Dismissals based on a juror's views are not." So basically what this court, lower court, said in the ruling which stands, you can be a Christian, you just can't act like one or bring your faith to the jury pool.
Yeah. What exactly, not to take a, we'll get back to this, but just from my understanding, what would be some reasons or rules that, that would prevent someone from serving on the jury?
So when you pick a jury, and like Abe would be much better at this than I am, but if you pick a jury, each lawyer can dismiss somebody outright for no reason at all. Sure. I don't like his red shirt, he's gone. He has a certain number of preemptions that they can dismiss anybody they want on the jury. Absent that, if the judge can show that this person is impartial, is not capable of being impartial, then the judge can dismiss them. The judge can dismiss as many people as he wants until he gets the judge, or he or she gets what they believe is a fair jury.
Sure.
In this case, they appealed to the judge, and the judge said, no, you can't serve on this this jury. So any number of reasons.
Let me ask you this. Play a devil's advocate here just a moment, because I don't agree with this decision to kick these jurors off just because they have evangelical Christian beliefs. But at the same time, don't lawyers jury screen all the time for all kind of different reasons, including biases that the jurors might have against a client or the defendant or the accused?
Yes, but remember that a court like this is a government body, a government entity, and the First Amendment still applies. You can't discriminate against someone simply because of their freedom of religion. If he came on wearing a shirt that says "Hang all homosexuals,"
sure,
yeah, I can see that would be good grounds for dismissal. You can't serve on a jury against a gay person and have that view. Their view was mainstream Christian view, which says homosexuality is a sin, and if they were to probe any further, and these juries actually stated this, not, yes, I believe that homosexuality is a sin, so is lying, so is murder, so is a whole lot of stuff, and I'm able to judge this person based on the
danger is you're allowing people, in this case evangelical Christians, to be kicked off a jury just because they have a belief, right, a religious belief. That, for example, homosexuality is a sin according to the Bible.
Right.
So the precedent there is you're warning against more discriminatory actions against Christians?
And this is something that Judge Alito had warned about during the Obergefell Justice Alito. That he had warned about when the Obergefell versus Hodges was the lawsuit, the Supreme Court case that legalized homosexuality, basically,
right,
and took away all of the laws that punished homosexual behavior. And Judge Alito was worried that religious people, Christians and other people who believe that homosexuality is a sin or they don't agree with it, could be, it opens them up for discrimination. And now this is coming true.
You know, this idea that the secularists, the leftists, the LGBTQ activists push that Christians, namely Christians, they would cite, are de facto hateful just because of our beliefs and what the Bible teaches about human sexuality and morality is absurd. We don't apply that standard to anybody else. I don't say, because you're, because I don't, you know, I don't want to approve. I don't want to, let's say, for example, I don't want to take my son. My son is an alcoholic. Mine aren't. I'm just saying, just as a scenario here. And you say, well, you're going to take him to the bar, aren't you? And I would say, no, I'm not going to. I don't approve of my son's alcoholism. I'm not going to encourage it. But that doesn't mean that I hate him. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean I hate him. It would be like saying you can't serve on a jury because of a DUI case, because you're a teetotaler.
Exactly.
Right?
That would be a good analogy.
Yeah. So the fact, what they're saying is that these Christians can't have an unbiased or can't look objectively at data and facts.
Well, and
because of who they are. Go ahead.
Well, and also too, so Christianity doesn't teach hate. So any Christian that does hate is
right for any reason.
For any reason is against the scripture. Okay, right. So that's clear. However, the Islam does teach hatred for gays, and nobody's asking the Muslims, what are you a Muslim in the room? Because if you're a Muslim in the room,
right, you can't serve on the jury.
You can't serve because we read your book.
No, then they would say that Islamophobia.
Islamophobia.
Right. Islamophobia. So.
Hate. You just got me fired up. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. Well, I just resent, and we always being accused, falsely being accused of being a hater just because you disagree with somebody's lifestyle. Listen, I have friends that are divorced for not biblical reasons, and I would talk to them or visit with them or see them at lunch and shake their hand.
Sure.
I don't hate them. I disagree with what happened in their life, maybe.
And depending on how close your relationship, you probably have told them that, or they know.
Right.
I mean,
but that doesn't mean I hate them. And it's the same way, but if you LGBTQ, man, all you got to do LGBTQ is disagree with their lifestyle, okay, and you are de facto a hater.
This is
silent.
If you don't affirm,
it'd be violence.
It's ridiculous.
It is.
Go ahead.
This is the same issue that I think we dealt with a little bit yesterday, which is the definition of words. They have made the definition of hate. Mm-hmm. You don't agree. So right. That's how they define hate. So that's how they can say if you don't agree.
Yeah, that's how they can keep their convictions.
Get to define the word.
They define the word. So there's no animosity. You don't burn with anger. You don't seethe when you see someone, and the phobia is the other one. They could Islamophobic or homophobic. I'm not scared of them.
Listen, I know, and I know,
that's
I know,
a good point.
Right, yeah. And I know parents who have gay children, and they still have a relationship with the children, but they don't approve of their lifestyle.
They don't affirm it.
They don't affirm it, but they still have a relationship with them. Mm-hmm. Are they haters?
No.
Huh?
This is the subtlety of language again. So they define the word hate as someone who disagrees, mm-hmm. and they label you with hate, and then they present you to the world as a hater based on the old definition of hate, so that they think that you are some evil monster that wants to take a knife to somebody because they're a homosexual or whatever.
Well, this is what
the duplicity. They judge you on one definition, and then they present you on the other.
That's what the Southern Poverty Law Center has done. They made a living off this.
Yes.
They are an organization out of Montgomery, Alabama. They're a national group, but they put out a hate group list.
Yes.
Every year, a hate group map, and we're always on it. It never fails. AFA and AFR,
Government departments, federal government departments are using it, using that list.
That's the worst
right.
part about
and
it.
And companies.
Yes.
We've been Discovery Card. Mm-hmm. They took us off there. They said you can't.
We found that you were on the Southern.
You're a hate group.
Yep. Yeah. Southern Poverty Law Center said you were.
Yeah.
Didn't.
Stripe. The credit card processing. Same thing.
Yeah.
A lot of times these people won't say exactly.
Sometimes they won't. Sometimes they won't.
But they'll cite the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Right.
The SPLC. They alone get to decide. And they're left wing, totally left wing, hardcore left wing. All right, next story, Steve.
Let's talk about Elon Musk. You had a story.
Elon Musk. God bless him. listen,
is that a Southern God bless him?
God bless him. Bless his heart.
Bless his heart.
Well, bless his heart means he did something stupid, and Elon Musk did not, and has rarely done things stupid. But bless his heart is a Southern term, code for that person needs sympathy because they did something stupid.
That's what I've learned.
Yeah, yeah.
My wife uses it on me all the time.
It's man. Oh, well, Steve. I got to tell you, Steve. You grew up in California, Colorado. I'm going to tell you what your Alabama wife's doing there.
She loves me.
She says, bless your heart. All right. So, Elon Musk, you know, is the richest man in the world. He still is, isn't he? Or he's top two. He was until he bought Twitter. And anyway, I don't know. Maybe he still is the richest man in the world, Elon Musk. He's a libertarian with some conservative opinions, right? Well, fair to describe him?
Yeah.
But he's not a Christian, as far as I know, or at least not an evangelical Christian or a Catholic. He's just... But he's He is for the First Amendment. He is pro Western civilization. Mm-hmm. Is he still the richest man in the world?
According to Forbes, he is the richest person in the world as of January of 2024. Has a net worth of $226.6 billion.
Right. So he doesn't have to sweat his house note.
I'm thinking he
you
probably
know what
doesn't.
I'm saying? I think, huh? Yeah. He can afford whatever house he wants. He's worth how much?
$226 billion. A quarter of a trillion dollars is much he's worth.
Wow. Anyway, listen, he has been, that's why his libertarian / conservative positions, Fred, mm-hmm. is why the liberal media and liberals hate him.
They sure do.
They hate Elon Musk. Mm-hmm. But he said, let me tell you what he wrote about this Georgia situation with this young lady who was murdered. He said, he was talking about this on his X account, which is formerly known as Twitter. This is what he wrote. He said, Dems, talking about Democrats, won't deport because every illegal is a highly likely vote at some point, Musk wrote. That simple incentive explains what seems to be insane behavior. Mm-hmm. End of quote. He sounds like me. Huh? Sound like maybe he's listening to my show. Our show here. Mm-hmm. He said, this is Elon Musk again. It has become so brazen that a gang of illegals can beat up police officers on camera in Times Square and get out of jail for free mm-hmm. and still not get deported.
Yep.
So what Elon Musk is saying out loud, well, here he goes on to say some more. Biden's strategy is very simple. Get as many illegals into the country as possible and then legalize them to create a permanent majority, a one-party state.
Yes.
This is why they are encouraging so much illegal immigration, simple yet effective. I just say to Elon Musk, although he doesn't need the winnings, he just bingoed.
Yeah.
He just bingoed because that's exactly what I've been saying for a number of years. Mm-hmm. That's why America's really kind of in a civil war right now, because the Democrat Party, they want to fundamentally change our country. And I'm not saying anything most of them don't say out loud.
Mm. I mean, or some of them have said at some point.
Well, Barack Obama said, I want to change the country, change the world.
Transform.
That's what he said.
That's what he said.
So much about America first there, right?
They don't have that America last. Yes. That's what they want. They want America. But here's the thing. Back to this point that Elon Musk is making. The Democrats want to... Joe Biden is going to go down to the border now. What, this week or next week? When
Thursday. This week.
Thursday.
With his ice cream cone.
Yeah, he's going to go down to the border and act like he cares about border security.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I'm getting sidetracked a little bit here, which is rare for me. Huh? And that is, Joe Biden should not be going down to the border because it only highlights his failures to protect our country.
Yep.
So I don't know why he's going down there. I don't know who told him to go down there. It's going to blow up in his face.
I have a suggestion why he's going down.
Why?
He just announced this week. Because former President Trump announced several weeks ago that he was going to the border on Thursday.
It makes sense for Trump to go, though.
Yeah. Oh, it does. But Biden is going down there. He has the mainstream media in his pocket. They're going to walk along a couple of feet of the fence down there, and you're not going to see any illegals. No, you're
not. They're already here.
Yeah.
Which means the fence works.
Yes. Yeah. He's going to walk along that fence. But here he's going to have a little talk with reporters, and he's going to say, hey, I want to secure this border, but the Republicans will not,
not
give me the money to do it.
That's what they're going to say.
He's going to say.
But he's not going to walk through to show you how bad it is and give you a plan of what he's going to do to fix it.
Oh, no.
I hope he does, because this was one of the worst self-owns. You know that description when somebody does something, they think they're making a point, but one of the mainstream media reporters, I don't remember who it was, but they were going to go down and report on the evil, evil wall because it's up there to stop the chaos when President Trump was president. He goes down there, stands in front of the wall, and says, I don't see any chaos here, to which everybody said, see, the wall works.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
So he's either going to go to where Biden's either going to go to where there's a bunch of migrants crossing, which makes him look bad, or to a section of the wall, which makes him look bad. If he goes to a section that's open and nobody's crossing, if he can find one, that's the only thing. But that's saying that there's no problem.
Yeah.
So you're right, Fred. I have no idea how he comes out on top on this.
Listen, I'm convinced any use of the word pathway to citizenship is a non-starter.
Yeah. I tried that 10 years ago.
I don't care if it's a Republican.
Yeah.
Or a Democrat. Democrats, they really don't believe in a pathway to citizenship. They just believe in citizenship for illegal. If they could make illegal immigrants citizens tomorrow, I'm talking about Democrats, they would.
They would
because then they know all these people would vote Democrat, and it would make, as Elon Musk is saying, it would make us a one-party country. And so I don't know. These Democrats are really they want, it's self-destruction. They are sabotaging their own country.
Yeah, what I just don't understand from a political standpoint is it's one thing to do what he's done for 2-3 years.
Who, Biden?
It'd be one thing for President Biden and his administration and his team and his party to do what they did for two and a half, 3 years, and then start tricking people for the year leading up to the election.
Yeah.
Okay, but what are we, 10 months out? Eight or 10 months?
You mean for the election?
From the election.
About nine, something like that.
And you're looking, and I don't know what you can do. If it's not started yesterday, I don't know what you do to make this a non-priority.
It's the number one issue that's going to cost maybe the economy and inflation.
Yeah.
But people now, when they're feeling it, seeing it in New York City and Boston and Detroit and Chicago and San Francisco and Los Angeles and Denver, they're seeing what the Phoenix and Dallas and Houston have had to put up with for decades. You know, they're seeing this and they're feeling this. And I say, give them more pain.
Absolutely.
Huh? Because
otherwise, we wouldn't even be talking about this right now.
No, right.
If it hadn't been for the sanctuary cities waving them in, and then Governor Abbott and a few others saying, you know what? That's not a bad idea. Here we come.
Right. Yeah.
All things you're saying are true if the election were right now. But man, it's like 9 months. You know what can happen in 9 months.
Well, that's the point I was making. I'd like to see what they're going to do about this in 9 months to make it any different.
Well, supposing a war breaks out and China starts taking Taiwan and nobody's going to remember the border, and then it's going to be on that.
Or I don't know.
The market crashes and then nobody's going to remember it's going to be on the economy and not on. There's so much that can happen between now and then.
It could, but this border thing's as bad as I've ever seen.
Oh, it is.
Or even studied it.
It is.
In history past.
But listen, you're going to hear this phrase used, and some Republicans even use pathway to citizenship and all this stuff. No, it's too. No.
No.
Maybe 10 years ago we could have talked about something like that.
For a million people.
It's too late.
No.
How many, Fred, you track the numbers. How many millions have come in?
At least 7 million have approached. They now believe there's at least 3 million.
Since Biden became president.
Are in the country.
And you remember.
Somewhere.
We could discuss this later.
It would be 10 million. Let me get that number out there. Let everybody sink in. 10 million illegal aliens, immigrants.
Have come into the country since Biden. You remember the first day Biden took office?
Yeah.
He got rid of all the things, the executive orders. He reversed them.
That's right.
Trump had in place.
That's right.
To prevent illegal, to at least stop it to a large extent.
Insanity.
And remember, Biden overturned them all because they were racist.
Yeah.
Huh? Yes. Remember that?
Oh, yes. Yes.
And now he's going to try to act like it's the Republicans' fault.
Yeah.
All right, we are out of time. We hope you have a great Tuesday afternoon. We will see you tomorrow with another edition of Today's Issues.